Morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. I would like to welcome all of us, all of you this morning to our service, worshiping our Father in heaven, giving him praises today. The members of the church here in Kailua, and also the visitors, especially the brethren who came abroad, that they choose to be with us today. Thank you for coming. Since my time is running, I'll have to get into what I have prepared this morning. I sent one report before I came. I tried to send the other one, but I couldn't do it. English is my second language, so please bear with me. I have all the information that I'm going to preach or say this morning in here. I'm going to look at them, and I will represent them. So the second letter, I have it here with me. I'm going to read it, the last phase of my trip to Samoa. It says, October 31st, 2012, to the church and faithful co-workers of the Lord in Kailua Church of Christ. Greetings from the brethren in Samoa once again. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that we might be saved from this evil age. I apologize for the delay of this report. None of the three churches here have a computer and even telephone. So looking for someone to type and send this report costs money. So this is why that's why I brought it over here. And my wife helped translating some of the wrong English into the good. So what I'm reading is that it was my wife and one of the sisters in the church in Honolulu helped print this. On October 31st, this is the last phase of mission trip before I return to Hawaii to my family and my home church in Kailua. On October 31st, Brother Toso Tamapolu and I were on a ferry heading for the island of Savai to visit the Fusi congregation. This is another island that we went. While on the ferry, I was thinking for a place to stay for 1 month, not in a motel, so we didn't have enough money. Not with the brethren, we didn't want to be burdened. And then I met my younger brother in the ferry, and he welcomed us to stay with his family. On Monday, we arrived in the village of Sangone and met up with his wife and kids, my mother and extended family. This is where I was born and raised. The Fusi Church of Christ has Bible studies on Saturday and services on Sundays. So I was excited looking for an opportunity to share the gospel with my family again, as I did in previous visits. On Tuesday, they agreed to a Bible study, and we started at 8:30 p.m. with 8 people and continued until midnight. On Wednesday, we started at 8 p.m. with 12 people and continued until 1 a.m. The study continued on the second week. 6 people wanted to be baptized, but there was a big problem. All villages of Samoa are governed by the Matai system, the high chiefs. Villages have rules and regulations that villagers are expected to live by. Breaking any of these rules has heavy consequences involving a lot of money, or the chiefs will order your family to leave the village. It is true. The village of Sangone, where people want to be baptized, has the following rules. No one will introduce any new church to the village. No one will go to another village to worship. All has to join any of the three churches already there. The churches are Mormon, Methodist, and Assembly of God. 6 people wanted to be baptized, but afraid of the consequences. My elderly mother, who is a respected woman in the village, and my younger brother, who is also a high chief of the village, were so scared of these consequences. I don't want to start it because if they, I don't want to push it because if the village will fine us, I don't want to do it. I don't have money to do the, to all these things. So I'll have to give it to them with their words. Bible studies continued on the third week. There was a great pressure. People felt that even the heavy consequences will not stop them from obeying God's will. The six people were secretly relocated and were baptized without the village knowledge. We know that nobody will stop the will of God. Amen. Amen. And I remember Acts chapter 8, verse 36, when the eunuch believed and they came to the water and he said, "What hinders me? There is nothing and nobody will stop the will of God." In the first week of December, my mother and another young lady heeded to the call of the Lord. They were secretly relocated to Vaimoso, the island that I was working before in Upolu, to Vaimoso, and were baptized there because of fear of the village rulings. I was touched, and my heart was joyous seeing my mother heeded to the call of the Lord as I had patiently taught her the gospel oftentimes before. Through all these weeks of the Bible studies and endurance and God doing his part, eight people were baptized in Savai. The Fushi Church was also encouraged with the teaching and preaching of the word. The brother that we went, we were uplifted and joyous about the result of our trip. Praise, honor, and glory to God. There are eight new converts in this village and more that we started to study with. I am willing to approach the village chiefs and ask to establish a Church of Christ in this village. Even then, the rules forbid this, but I'm positive that God Almighty will find a way. My mother has granted us a piece of land for this hope also. From the village of Saleomua, this is on the island of Upolu, to Vaimoso, Church of Christ is 80 miles away from the church building. The speed limit in most roads in Samoa is 30 miles per hour. There are six members that travel from Saleomua to worship at the church in Vaimoso in Apia, about 80 miles away. There is a village called Salwafata. It is 40 miles to Vaimoso. There are 10 members there with the new Christians that was just being baptized. There is possibility to establish one Church of Christ in Salwafata village. So the brethren from Saleomua that comes from 80 miles will worship there instead of commuting far. It would be less money for cash and less traveling. And one of the brother, he already told me that he will donate his land to start to build a church building. And he guaranteed me. There is so much work to do here in Samoa. Two churches of Christ here don't have regular preachers, so the brethren take turns in preaching and teaching. But going out to evangelize and visit the weak and the fallen are neglected. If God in heaven is willing, I will return to Samoa to continue to work as my heart desires to bring people to the kingdom of the Lord. In Christian love, Mikalau Fili. Altogether, we have 17 people who were baptized in my last trip. But the one before, we baptized 4 people. The church in Samoa give their love and best regard for the church here and the support. Our elderly sisters, that you know what I'm talking about, thank you for your support and your help very, very much. And the church. This time I want to Brother Mario to put some of the photos on so I can explain a little bit about what we did over there. This is the village where we're 80 miles away from the church building. This is the preacher from the U.S. that we met over there. And when we went, we go and teach the people. I was translating the message into the Samoan language. So his name is Keith. But this is the village about 80 miles away from the church building. This is the baptism, one of the baptism. I think this picture is in earlier, Mario. But it's all right. This is one of the baptisms that we have in Samoa. This is one of the sister that was not coming to church anymore. But we went and visit her to her home and encouraged her to come back. This is the Bible study that we started at 10 o'clock at night, and we finished at 12 midnight. And all these people are Christians that they are not going to church anymore. And I was surprised. There are a lot of work that we needed to do over there. These are the brethren from the church in Fuji, Savai. These are the leaders of the church with the preacher from the U.S. This is the Bible study I did with this man is a crippled man. And we have studied with him, and his son going to school, high school. So every time he comes in, come home, he saw us having study, and he started to listen. And then the other day when he came back, when he comes home, he never went back. He wants to stay and listen to our Bible studies. He helps his father. They do not have any income. I mean, they only have bananas besides their house, and that's the only source of income that they have. They sell them. This is the time of his baptism. We put him down to the baptism place. This is inside the church in Vimoso. He was baptized together with his son over here that we're taking our pictures together. This is the project that we did on this crippled family. He doesn't have a bathroom. And the foundation of his place is too high that his son will have to carry him down to the ground to take them to church. And also the bathroom is on the other house. So when he wants to go to the bathroom, his son will take him down in a wheelchair on stones, and then he carried his father up to the other house for taking a shower and going to the bathroom. And then when I see it, I approach the church so we can build one to his house next to his place. So this is the project that we did. The church in Samoa did this, and we spent some money with it. This is when we dig the hole for the septic. The brethren, they freely went over there and do the work. By the way, this mission is the mission of the Kailua Church of Christ. It's not mine. It is the mission of the church in Kailua. And we built this, we cement this so the wheelchair will go down. Because before, it was the stone steps. So the son had a hard time taking him down and taking him up. Sometimes he carried him. But the boy was just in high school. He is very, very young. But this is what we do, the church over there. And it is a long rail all the way down. This is the Bible study in Savai. All these people that you look at, they were all baptized. This is one of the people, the six people that were baptized, relocated in Fuji and baptized. This is one of the baptisms. in Savoy. These are all the people that was baptized in the last trip to Savoy. This is one of the young lady that they were relocated with my mom to the other island to baptize in a church in Vimoso. This is my mom, 80 years old, and I am happy that she obeyed the Lord. This was the man that I told on my first report that he left the church 20 years ago. I worked with him about 1 month, and he came back. This is his confession. He stand in front of the church, and he confessed, "I love him." He left the church, and he went and become a preacher of the Assembly of God. But now he knows he needs to come back. Well, I was doing some work too physically. I help, you know, because I need to eat. I need to be part of them. This is one of the brothers of the brother in Savoy. This is Bok Choy. And this is how we water them. We have a can of 3 pounds of corned beef. We open it and eat it, and then we put holes in it, and we get the water and then water them. This is one of the brothers in Samoa. He had all these are beans and cabbages and cucumbers plantation. I helped him one day that I told him, "Oh, I need some so we can have food together." So we went and I helped him. This is the church in Savoy. Before, they want to take their bags when I first got over there. After, they want to take their faces. Now, they are very happy. They are smiling. This is the church in Savoy. There are new Baptist people who have been just baptized over there, but not all of them are over here. This is the church in Vimoso when I first got there. I was preaching that day. I used the board to explain some of the things. There are not so many of them coming in the first time. This is on December. These are all the people that some of them, they never went back to church, but now they're coming. This is our working day. This is the first time that we work on the crippled man's our project. This day, we go to the sea at the beach, and we get the sands in sacks and put them in vans. These two men in the front have vans. That's what we used for taking the sands to this man's home. And we went 6 or 8 times back and forth, because we don't have money to pay for a good truck one time that to take the things. And that's about it. Well, thank you for your patience. I think my time is finished. And I can finish now too, right? What do you think? I can. I have good things that I prepared to talk about this morning. Very, very good stuff. But now, maybe next time. Maybe Brother Ben will give me a chance next time. Or you want me to speak? Okay. I will make it short. Really short. Brother Ben, Guillermo, knows the technique. I do not. I do not know how to cut my lessons. You know what I mean. But Brother Ben, he can do it in any time. So bear with me, brothers and sisters. When Jesus was hanging between heaven and earth, in excruciated pain for our sins, Right before his last breath, he said, "It is finished. It's done. Fulfilled." He nailed them on the cross. That's what Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. But in Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, when he was resurrected, he met with his disciples and he opens their understanding. Luke chapter 24, verse 44 to 46. It says, "When he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day.'" This is the Great Commission in the eyes of Luke. And it is unique the way Luke breaks it down. Luke separated three major works for saving the world. First, the works of the law of Moses and the prophets is done. Second, Jesus' redemption work for the world is done, fulfilled on the cross. And third, the works of his disciples and the church. In verse 47 to 49, he said, "And that redemption and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I sent the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." He told his disciples, "You have seen these things." They witnessed them. They saw it. Now he said, "Now go to all nations and preach these things, the gospel of Christ." For what? For the remissions of sins. That means without the preaching, there would be no remissions of sins. And the disciples need to do it. So now we see that the law and the prophets is done. Christ on the cross is done. Now, it is our duty to take this message to the world. We are his disciples. Christ trusted this man, whom he chose to do their part of the work that God had given them to do. He trusted them. He said, "Go." And they did. If they never did their job, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. We are evidence that they have done their part. From the day of Pentecost, then they scattered throughout the world. And here we are in 2012 in a church in Kailua from different backgrounds, one heart, one mind, giving God the honor and the glory. Amen. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, Paul to his co-workers at the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." He said, we are the products of God's work in Christ. Isn't that great? We are. you know, the majority of the people buy things in brand names. They said they are the best quality of all the products out there. Nike in sports, Snap-on in tools, and so on. The Christians are the best quality there is in the world because God is our maker. We are his workmanship. We became new creatures when we born again. He made us. And of course, he never forget our work that we need to do. He said, he prepared these works. That's what he said. When? Before time. He prepared a new lines of work for us before this world exists. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Before this world exists, he had a blueprint of the work that I should do when I become a Christian, and you too. Works that was never crossed my mind, I will do before. And they were never in my job search list also. Never. While I was in the world. What are these works? Give to the poor? Do good to all men? Do good to all men? Before, hey, they are my enemies. But God said, please, do good to all men, especially the household of faith, not forsaking the assembly, and much, much more, especially seeking and save the lost. Who, me? Yes, it's you and you. It is our work to seek and save the lost. All of us, according to our abilities. You know, Moses have a lot of excuses. Many, many. Who am I, Lord? I cannot speak, Lord. It doesn't not change how much we excuse, how much excuses we have, the will of God that he wants us, the church, to carry out his mission. It doesn't matter how much we excuse why we are not doing it. It doesn't change the fact that God wants his church to carry his mission out to the world. His mission is saving the world through our preaching and our teaching. These are the works of faith. Without them, where would my faith get Christ? Where? This morning, our conversation will not about our work, but the works of our Master whom we follow. God, in his infinite wisdom, knew the old system will be done away. According to his timetable, the new living way will soon be established. Therefore, a ministry work from heaven will do the job, not from anybody here in this world. And that's why he sent Jesus. Not only just die on the cross, but he wants to know everything that we're going through. He wants to know our weaknesses. He wants to know everything. And here he was. He knew us. And he went everywhere. If we have a map over here, I can show you where he went. And you know the places. All the places that he went for. He sent Jesus. And the Word of God says that we need to walk in His footsteps. He gave us examples after examples. We are just starting. Please, bear with me. We are just starting. In Luke chapter 19, verse 7 to 8, verse 7 to 10, Luke chapter 19. It says, but when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. There are so many, many things why Jesus came. And Brother Penn mentioned one of it this morning. He came to reveal the Father. He came to die on the cross for the remission of our sin. But this one is the best. He said, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The meaning of the word seek explains why God's word said Jesus went everywhere preaching. Its meaning is to try to find, search for, to aim at. That's what he did in his ministry work. His ministry is needed to prove God has sent him, also for the sake of this, of those he will find in his ministry, to give attention to a new and living way of life that will about to begin. John chapter 9. I was happy when Brother Penn talked about this, John chapter 9. And I was wishing that he talked before so I can listen to him, that I will put some of his thoughts over here in my lesson. But I thank him for keep bringing it up this morning. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. One day while they went about, Jesus and his disciples seeking the lost, he saw a man whom was born blind. His disciple asked him, who sinned, him or his parents? John chapter 9, verse 1 to 4, he said, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciple asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Jesus answered the question. Neither of them sinned. But this one is to reveal the works of God to the world. To educate the world what God can do to any individual like him. Well, this is a miracle, of course. But this is the operation to also. His operations was gone well, just a spat on the crown, mixed the saliva with dirt and became clay and applied it to his face, to his eyes. He went washed at the pool and came back with his eyes open, verse 6 and 7. Now he had seen all things, other guys of his age and joy while he was blind. And his new life gives him hope there is something out there to live for. This was not the first time God did an operation. He did also to Adam in the beginning to make woman. Now God did it to this to a man born blind, and people saw no bandage, no stitches, and no medical attention. It gives the attention of the people. That's when Jesus said, remember, this one will reveal the works of God. Whom can do such an operation beside God? The truth about Christ said to reveal the works of God start to come out. Verse 8 and 9, the neighbors start to notice. Verse 10, they questioned him. Verse 13, they brought him to the Pharisees. And soon, the whole community was debating whether it is true that God was really the one who opens the eyes of this blind man. The whole community hardly hear his voice before. Probably only when he begged for alms. But today, this day, this guy was preaching. He was preaching. Verse 30 to verse 33, we read. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. I was informed, I'm going to represent my report today in advance and preach. This blind man was not informed. He's going to speak in front of the whole community. Probably he just thought that it is just another day. But when God's work reached him, although it was a short sermon, but what he said revealed one of the greatest truths about the righteousness of God. He said, God does not hear sinners unless you are a doer of his will. This is true. That is the reason, one of the reasons why we get out there. Because God does not hear sinners. We have been blessed. We have been saved through obeying the gospel. And people out there are not. And it says that he doesn't hear sinners. There are so many people out there who are tired of the way they live. But that's the only way they know. It's like there is no way out. Like this man who was born blind. What a change of events since God's work showing through this man's life. I knew someone who was hanging with the wrong crowds. Always do the opposites. He never start any trouble, but surely he will never back off either when someone brought it to him. He smoked marijuana. Every day he drink, and I mean he drank, including Sundays. Every bad thing in the book he does, and you name it. He was converted by one of Jesus' faithful followers from the U.S. He walks to the church about 1.5 miles away on Sundays and Wednesday with his Bible in his hand. His friends and the community mock and make fun of him. His wife was doing the same, saying, when are you going back to your old self? After months passed by, they started to ask questions. One by one, he answered them back. They want Bible study. He led one of the faithful disciples who knows more than him to teach them while he was listening. After 1 year, this man led many people to God, including his wife. He changed his life because one faithful disciple of Jesus from the U.S. crossed paths with him in Samoa. The man who was born blind changed his life around because Jesus crossed the road where he was. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus makes his intention clear when he chose his disciples and said, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." It means the career of catching fish is over. He will teach and educate them to catch men. They forsook everything and followed him. He taught them good. They gave their lives to it. Every Bible study I attend in the church, either here, Honolulu, or wherever, when asked questions and the brethren start answering and makes comments, I am amazed to what I hear. I am talking about the knowledge of God's people today and even our women. There is a lot of knowledge of God's word in people in this room today. Do you notice that? Do you know that? There is a lot of knowledge that we have here. All of you, the Christians. We have been blessed because of that. What you going to do with that knowledge that God has given you? What you going to do with it? It is from God anyway. What you going to do with it? There are a lot of people out there, they have good career, have good jobs, families, but they are miserable without God's blessings, brothers and sisters. They are miserable. They look okay, but their lives is not. And God is depending on us, the church, to share his blessings with them. It was not intended for us only to have those blessings, not just us, but to share them with the world. You know, that's why Jesus came. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes will have everlasting life. They need the gospel. And we are the only source of having it rightly divided. We are. This is the safest place on earth where God adds the saves to the church. And we want those people to be in here. So let us not wait for the lost to come to our meeting, please. Let us not wait. Let us get out of our comfort zone and get out there, give them the gospel. Give them the knowledge that you have. Teaching them the gospel. Then they will have something to hope for after this life. Hey, I'm done. Brothers and sisters, thank you for your patience. Thank you very, very much for your patience. It's always good to be here. Always and always. And there is no other place for us to be rather than here. That we can satisfy our souls. That can please us because there is no hypocrisy over here. We are God's people. Amen? And we need to do his job. We need to do his work. And guess what? Sometimes we are not giving our attention to it today and tomorrow. But I will make sure to you that one day it will never escape your attention. You know why? Because your works will what? Follow you. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, the invitation song is already chosen. If you heed to the call, if you have something that the brother needs to pray for in your life, and if you wanted to rededicate your life back to the work of God, and if you want to be baptized for the remission of your sins, everything is possible, can possible, this moment, while we stand and sing.